the worship team can be seated. I'll ask Nancy Letcher and Bev Mackey to come forward. Come right up here. There will be a time that I'll ask you to kneel, and I'll ask the council members to come forward, and they can lay hands on you as well. And I just want to share a couple of portions of scripture that talks about going. As you go to Africa, this doesn't happen in every church. And so to send people that are from the church who everyone knows, or almost everyone knows, and are mindful of praying for you as you go is very important. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 through 20, it says, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew, and they were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Now, you're not Simon and you're not Andrew, but you are special to us. And Jesus comes, and also, as he said to them, he says to you, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men and women and of kids. It says that at once they left their nets and followed him. Nancy and Beth, you are going to a place that many of us don't have any clue what it's like. Beb, you've been there. You and Tim have been there. Nancy, this is going to be just follow the leader.
That's what I did.
And you will not be disappointed in that as well. Another portion of scripture is where it says this in Matthew. Jesus went through all the towns and villages teaching in their synagogues. Places you're going do not have synagogues. Some places probably have churches, some places don't. And they went there and they preached the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And I believe you're going to come into places like that and scenes like that where you're going to go like, this is too big for us. But the Lord is here. The Lord knows everything about it. The compassion you have for those that you will see and touch and who hear from you will be just what it says here in Scripture. And he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. And so you're going out into a whole different field. You'll say, we know we're not in Iowa anymore. That's for sure. So this is some scripture to give to you this morning. And also to be able to say the words of the Great Commission of our Lord that he says at the end of the book of Matthew. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And here's a great promise, and surely I'll be with you always, to the very end of the age. Bev and Tim's not here, and Nancy, I hereby commission you as servants of Harbor of Joy. As you go to Ghana and Togo, that the Lord will use you. The Lord's hand will be upon you, and he will protect you. He'll give you things to say and things to do that you go like, I don't know where that came from, but you go like, it was the Lord. And so I commission you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to ask the council of Harbor of Joy, if you'd like to come up. No, if you don't want to come up, you don't have to, but I think it'd be nice. I'm going to ask you gals to kneel. Well, lay hands on the sisters of ours and pray for them. I will pray, and then I'll leave it to anyone else who'd like to pray. Feel free to do so. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you, and we are thankful for servants that are willing to go to places where many of us do not feel called to go, or just simply too stubborn to go. But these three, Bev and Tim and Nancy, want to go and serve you in a place that we don't know anything about. Lord, they will meet people, they'll meet men, women, and children who are eager to hear more about what they have to say. Lord, there may be some who never ever heard about Jesus Christ ever in their lives. Those who've never really heard anything about the Bible, but they've heard about the Quran. Lord, we pray your protection upon them. We pray, Lord, that they will be the salt, the light, a harbor of joy, and for your kingdom in the places that they go. Watch over them mightily. Use them in great ways, that as they come back, that they can share with us where they've seen the hand of the Lord at work in a place that we pray for this morning. We ask your blessing on them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Able to pray for one another. But it's not just for today, it's for the days ahead. And Lord, we need things like this to take place. We need people willing to go to places where many would rather not go. That when they come back, they kind of fire us up. And we just praise you and thank you for how you're going to use Tim and Bev and Nancy and the days and weeks ahead. Lord, we pray your blessing upon this offering. Thank you for the faithfulness of your people. Thank you for the joy that comes to us as we give unto you. We pray your blessing now on each gift and each giver in Jesus' name.
Let us leave.
for leading us in that song. The message today comes to us from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 through 40, and that's a long section, so I'm not going to have you stand, I'm not going to read it, but I will refer to it along the way here. But let's look to the Lord before we hear His word and ask Him to come and open our ears and our hearts to what He has for us today. Heavenly Father, we thank You for bringing us here this morning. And Lord, You brought us here for a purpose and for a reason. It's not just to check church off that I came this week and I can check that off my list. But Lord, we came because we needed to hear from You to personally speak to our hearts today. And so we thank You for Your Holy Spirit who does this in ways that are mysterious to us, but also very real. So Lord, help me to preach and give Your word today where it can be understood. And may Your Holy Spirit do the knocking on our hearts, Lord, that we will open them up to You, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a little overview. This is a kind of a two-part sermon. It doesn't happen very often. But just for those of you that weren't here last week, just a little synopsis there of what you missed. We looked at the description of faith that we find in the very first verse of chapter 11 in Hebrews, which says, you know, here's a description, a very good description. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And that's... Somebody ever asks you, well, what do you talk about faith? What really is faith? Well, just say, there's a good description or good definition of what faith is in the very first verse of chapter 11 in Hebrews. We also talked about why is faith important. If you look at verse 6 in chapter 11, you'll find the answer to that. Why is faith important? It's because, no, it is impossible to please God without faith. You must believe that God exists before you even come and acknowledge Him. He does exist. So faith is very important. And we also mentioned that faith is always objective faith. There's always an object that's connected with the faith. And in the case that we find in the scriptures, that object is always either the cross or the one who died on the cross for you and for me. Faith comes by knowing Him and seeking Him and wanting Him to live in our hearts and our lives. So if you need that object for our faith to really know what we're talking about, because a lot of people have faith in a lot of different things. You had faith when you got into your vehicle today, knowing that if you have a key, you know, you're really out of step. You got to have a button now. Which goes way back to the 50s and the 40s, you had buttons back then, you know? So, I mean, that has really changed. But you had faith that was going to start. Your vehicle is going to start, and you're going to get here alive. Now, you can touch yourself saying, it started, and I'm here alive. I can feel myself. We made it. Those are just little things of faith that we don't even take, we don't even stop to think about, but they're there. When you sat down in your pew, you believe that the pew is going to hold you. Nobody can crashing down in their pew. By faith, you trusted the strength of the pew, and you use that as just an example of faith today. As we look at the other verses, begin in verse 17 in Hebrews 11, and what we notice throughout the book, the chapter 11 of Hebrews, everything is by faith, by faith, by faith. I didn't count up how many times it says it, but it shows you how important faith is. And it talks about a person in the Bible that by faith, and today we look at some of them, it is like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And we hear all the time in the Old Testament that our God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We have more names than that in this, so I'm just saying that this is not exhaustive. The names that we have in here, there could be many more names in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11, but we're just going to look at some of what we see here today. So the Hall of Faith are not made of perfect people. Sometimes we think that these are the giants of the faith, and we go like, man, if I could have just been like Abraham, or if I could have been like Isaac, and like Jacob, and so on down the line, you got the whole wrong picture. Because every one of them that are mentioned, is it's by faith, they believed and they trusted in a God that sometimes they could not see, they could not verbally or audibly hear from, but they know that God wanted them to do something for Him. And so at first glance, looking at some, I'm just going to pick some out of here. We got Jacob. You know, Jacob was not a perfect guy. I think his name even means deceiver. In other words, he's kind of a liar. And we know that Jacob deceived his brother Esau with the birthright. Esau was the firstborn. Jacob wasn't. And we know that Esau was a hunter, and Jacob wasn't. But he knew that he could make the best stew in the world. And when Esau came back from hunting, he was so hungry. And Jacob says, well, I got something here. Can you smell it? And he said, I could eat a doorknob, you know? And he said that if you give me your birthright, give me the birthright, I'll give you this porridge, this stew. And so Esau did. He went ahead and did it. So Moses, so next thing we go on to is Moses. You know, when God called Moses, was Moses going like, all right, I'm here. I will go to Egypt and let the people go free. Did Moses do that? Absolutely not. Moses gave more excuses why God should pick someone else than him. Moses even says, I'm not a good speaker. I stuttered. Use my brother Aaron instead. And Moses complained, and God got to the point he got so mad he wanted to kill Moses. Did you know that? It's there in the scriptures. But God, with an ever-ending love, he said, Moses, you're the guy. Moses finally gave in. And you know the rest of the story, that Moses is the one who delivered the Israelites out of Egypt. You have Rahab is also mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. Rahab was in the town of Jericho, the place where they sent in the 12 spies. They came back, there was 10 who said, they are big as world, what do they call those wrestlers they see on TV?
Sumo wrestlers.
Well, sumo wrestlers, they're really big. But these guys got a ring around, and they jump around, and they go on top, and they jump on each other, all that stuff. You know, these guys are huge. We cannot conquer these guys, and their cities are fortified with huge walls. In our eyes, we look like grasshoppers to them. 10 of the spies said that. Only 2 said, no, the Lord says we can take it. Let's go take them. And that was Joshua and Caleb. But we don't mention, you know, it doesn't mention Joshua or Caleb in this list here. But it mentions Rahab, because Rahab lived in Jericho. And it says here that Rahab is what? She's a prostitute. Rahab is the mother to Boaz. Boaz married Ruth. And we find that Rahab is the genealogy, the ancestry, the descendants of our Savior Jesus Christ in the very first chapter of Matthew. And you go like, you just wouldn't think that Jesus, when you think of his ancestry, there'd be people who were like not really solid people of faith, and had no problems in life and were perfect people. But it's not the case. Jesus was a perfect person, the only one that I know of, and lived his life perfectly. And so we can go on and we can say Gideon. Well, Gideon bargained with God. Gideon says, well, Lord, before I go after the Midianites, I'm going to pick my fleece of wool, and I want the wool to be wet in the morning, but the ground to be dry. Next morning, the wool is wet, the ground is dry, and he says, okay, Lord, I'm going to try one more thing here. How about this time, the wool is dry and the ground is wet? Next morning, the wool is dry, the ground is wet. Gideon then goes, okay, the Lord's with us, we're going to go take the Midianites. And he has like 10,000 guys with him, and the Lord says, nope, ain't going to be 10,000, because then you'll think you did the win. You'll have the victory, you did it yourself. And he says, take him to the water, and the ones who are on their knees and scoop up water, put it in their mouths, those are the ones that will be the ones that will be chosen to go fight the Midianites. And how many more are there? 300. Send the rest home, or the ones that didn't want to go. There was a number that just left. They said, I don't want to be a part of this. I'm going to go back to my family. But it turned out it was only 300 men. The rest went down, like they started licking the water out of the pool there, and the Lord rejected those. But take those that are on their knees, because they're alert. They know what's going on around them, and they would scoop water, and they were just they made better troops. We go to Samson. Oh boy, Samson, we can stay here all morning. Samson was kind of the playboy, the Hugh Hefner in the Bible. He didn't do too well he did very well with the ladies, but he shouldn't have. And God did grant him at the very end of his life to be able to push the pillars down and to kill a bunch of Philistines, plus himself. But Samson, and the last one I got here is David. King David, the greatest king of Israel, and look at the mess that he got himself in as the king of Israel. David and Bathsheba, do I need to say more? And Uriah came back, who was Bathsheba's husband, and David is trying to cover up his sin with Bathsheba. Uriah does not go along with David's plan, and David finds out about it, and he sends to his generals saying, I'm sending Uriah back, make sure he's on the front lines in the hottest place on the front line with the enemy, making sure that he gets killed. And that's what happens. And so David is not only an adulterer, but he's also a murderer. And these are the ones that we find in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Gives you just a little background that they're not perfect people, but the main thing that points out here by the author of Hebrews is that these were people, not perfect, but they were saved by God's grace through faith. They trusted, they believed. Is there anyone here in church today who could stand and say, or raise your hand, I am perfect. I have not sinned since last Sunday. Any hands? I see none. You answered correctly. We probably all wished we would not have, but we have. You know, some might think the pastor sins the least in the church. I wish that was true, but it's not. I'm there with you in life and do dumb things too. And sin just like you do. And I need God's forgiveness just like you do. And for God to clean me up and forgive my sins. Faith will be tested. Did you know that? Every person that's listed here in Hebrews, their faith was also tested. Do you like having your faith tested? Want to think about that a little bit longer before you answer? But it's true. We don't like our faith to be tested. We'd like to say, I've got faith, and watch me go and be a great Christian. It doesn't work that way. When your faith is being tested, do you ever complain? Do you ever worry? Well, those are sins. And Abraham's faith was tested. You know, when God promised Abraham that he was going to be, his descendants will be like the stars in the sky and the sands on the seashore, there'll be that many of them, at the time that God gave him that promise, Abraham was 75 years old. He was younger than Ron Knutson by 10 years. And his wife, Sarah, we know her better by, you know, she's never had a child in her entire life. And she's 10 years younger than Abraham. Abraham had to wait 25 years before God answered that prayer. When Abraham was 100, Sarah became pregnant when she was 90. Now, some of you ladies have something to look forward to. You said, how many times? Well, I'm done. You look at Abraham and Sarah, Abraham is 100, Sarah is 90, and when she's told by these strangers that came one day to their tent and said, well, this time next year, Sarah is going to give birth to a son, what did Sarah do? She did just what you guys did. She laughed. And they probably said, Chet said, you got to be kidding me. It ain't going to happen. And Abraham probably said, it ain't going to happen either as far as I know. But a year later, she gave birth to Isaac. And later on in life, what does God tell Abraham to do with Isaac, his only son, born in the age of impossibility of having kids? Then God tells him to take his one and only son and go to Mount Moriah and to sacrifice him there as an offering, which Abraham did. But God provided a different sacrifice. The ram caught in a thicket. But Abraham's faith was tested, and so was Sarah's. And it was Sarah who said, Abe, honey, you know Hagar, God said he'd give us a son, you know, it's not going to happen with me. How about you just go and sleep with Hagar, and hopefully she'll conceive, and you'll have your son, and God will, his promise to you will be fulfilled. Now Abraham, the dummy, listened to Sarah. And Hagar had a son named Ishmael. Later on comes Isaac. And there's been trouble ever since as well. Sometimes we don't always follow God the way we should. And of course, hindsight is always 20/20. But I'm so glad that we have people in the Bible that did not have spick and span lives, because then we would say, I don't have a prayer. I could never do this. I could never be considered one of God's faithful people. Well, these people sinned, they needed God's forgiveness and his grace, and it was granted to them. It is also will be granted to you, no matter where you are today in your life or what has happened, what you've done. God's grace is big enough. The faith that is given in the scriptures is a faith that will come today. It's one that also needs to be passed on to others. If you look at You know, Jacob, verse 21 and verse 22, it says that when Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshiped as he learned on the top of his staff. It means he knew he's at the end of his life, and yet he gave a blessing to his kids. You look at Joseph, when he was near the end of his life, he spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions about his bones. Joseph knew that Egypt was not his home. He wanted to go back to Canaan. That was the promised land. And he instructed them, make sure that if I die here in Egypt, you take my bones and you take them back to the promised land where our families really come from and the land that God has given to us. And they did. Have you had that talk with your kids? If you have them? With your relatives? If you are up there in years? To say, you know, I want you to know that this is very important to me, that you know Jesus as your Savior. That you know the Lord. And I don't want you just to say it because I'm saying it to you today, but it's something that you need to really believe and trust in your own heart every day. Some of you here today go like, yikes. I don't even think I know the Lord. So how can I pass on to my kids if I don't know Jesus? Good news! You can trust in Him today. You can make that commitment to Jesus today. Simply saying, I'm a sinner. Admitting your sin. Confess you're a sinner. And that you need God's forgiveness in your heart and life. And you know that God hears your prayer. He knows what's happening inside of you today. He will hear you. He will forgive you. And then you say, Lord, help me to live for you from this day forward. And it sounds like when you got married. I pledge you these things till this from this day forward. And that's kind of a same kind of a commitment. Are you going to fail? Well, let me ask you this. Have you failed your husband or your wife since you've been married? Well, some things you go like, yeah, I did. But you know, going into marriage, that's where you keep your eyes wide open going into marriage. Once you get married, you shut your eyes. But you know that's not going to always be a bed of roses. And you need forgiveness granted to each other as well. So the next point I want to make is that faith is a marathon. It's not a sprint. You've heard that before from different places. It's a marathon. It's a journey. It's not a 100-yard dash. You made it, and that's all there is to it. Day by day. Day by day. And faith always points us. The faith that we see in chapter 11 of Hebrews, it points us to Jesus Christ. These people have not heard about Jesus yet. But they know that God has promised them a deliverer, a Messiah that will come one day. And they know about that, but they don't know what he's going to be like. We do, because we have the New Testament. So our faith that we find here in Hebrews is one that is telling us to, for us, we got to look back to the cross, what happened on Calvary for us. But we know that Jesus is with us today and hears us today. And faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. We walk by faith, we do not walk by sight. And that's not as easily done, is it? We'd rather walk by sight rather than by faith. It does not work that way in Scripture. The last one, if you're looking at your sermon notes, is faith in Jesus Christ will never, ever, ever disappoint. You'll have some rough days. Some of you have been through some rough days. Some of you are in some rough days today. But our faith in Jesus Christ will never disappoint us.